Welcome to First Person, Deborah J.M. Smith on homeschooling, and I am with Deborah J.M. Smith.
Hi.
We're going to talk about homeschooling, and the main reason we're talking about homeschooling is because, well, I should say up front, I'm not a parent. Deborah J.M. Smith is a parent. The reason we're talking about this is because both of us believe that one of the most important things that parents can do to protect their children, to give their children a good education, and to keep their children from being indoctrinated by the public schools is homeschooling. Is that correct? I mean, that's basically why we're here, right?
Yes.
Now, where I want to start today is have Deborah tell you just a little bit about her daughters. We're not making this personal about them, but her daughters are exceptional students, and I want you to have a little bit of a perspective on what we're talking about here, because the level of success that a parent can have homeschooling their children is limitless. There's no elevation too high, no amount of success that that could be not achieved. I'm going at this completely backwards. The amount of success in homeschooling is well documented. It's not just Deborah J.M. Smith. People who homeschool their parents end up with students who do very well when they go on to future education, higher education, and their success in the business world, in whatever endeavor they pursue, is usually very high. So if you would, Deborah, instead of me just yammering on, why don't you give us a little bit of information about the success that your daughters have had since homeschooling?
Well, first off, I want to say, because I know that you know this, but for any of the listeners to know that I'm not boasting here.
That's a good point.
I just want people to know that it works. That homeschooling works for Christians, biblical born-again Christians. I can't speak for non-Christians or fake Christians or whatever, but I can speak as a child of God, as a biblical born-again Christian, that when God gives us something to do, He will show us how to do it, and He will give us everything we need to do it. And so I just want that known, because people will say, okay, but how are they going to get educated, and how do you know how to do it? And yet when you tell them how successful it is, sometimes people think you're boasting, and it's like, okay, it has to be a happy medium here, so that people can understand that I'm answering this so that they can know it works, and that all the success is glory to God, not to us. Both of my daughters have bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, and they're currently working on their doctorates.
That just blows my mind. That is so great.
And no one's more shocked than I am that I educated these kids at home.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's more shocked than I am at just like in the work, that I do. I'm shocked that God can use me, period, in anything. I'm shocked. I tell people I'm what God can do with the least. So, and here's another thing I want people to understand. I'm not college educated. Because people will say, okay, well, yeah, you had to have been, college educated. Okay, what about that person that graduated with a C- average? I'll raise my hand. What about me?
That's such an important point, because you don't have to be a brainiac. And I'm not saying, see, that's another thing we could get into. We could spend 20 minutes talking about why you got that C average. It's not because you didn't have the brains for it. It's because you went to a school where they were not reaching you.
I didn't get educated. Yeah. And I try. That's another thing I'd love to get across to people. There's a huge difference between intelligence and education. I think there's many, many very intelligent people in this world who have no idea how intelligent they are because they didn't get educated. They went to a public school. And that's not to say that no public schoolers got educated. I'm just saying, I believe on a whole, from the statistics that we see out today of the very, very low percentage of students that are actually ready for college when they graduate, and I'm talking low, like in the single digits for here in Rochester, and in the teens, maybe in the 20s, for some of the surrounding towns, for the percent of students who are ready for college after their senior year. And so people have to realize that even if they graduated with that C minus average, it doesn't mean that they're not intelligent. It could very well and most likely means for more people than not that they simply did not get educated.
And then when you started educating your children, guess what? You were learning along the way too.
Absolutely. That's when I received the bulk of my education, and I still am. I'm still learning. And those kids are even teaching me sometimes now. They're 24 and 27 now, and they're both in science, chemistry and biochemistry.
Jeez.
I know. It's like, how'd that happen?
No, first of all, it's impressive just because they're women, because few women pursue this kind of education in this field. Because it's a very complicated field. And another thing we could talk about for another 20 minutes would be the fact that so many girls are trained up in public schools to think a certain way about themselves, and they are almost discouraged from pursuing these very, very mental fields that require a lot of education and a lot of intelligence. And yet, here are your girls, who are immersed in the sciences. It's incredible. It's really something.
Yeah, and they were raised home with mom, who baked cookies.
Yeah.
You know, and yet a lot of the public school girls, you know, they go into home ec, while the boys go into shop or whatever it is that they do, wood shop. And you know, I'm all for women being women and men being men, but women can be scientists too and still be women. They're the prettiest little scientists you ever want to see. Yeah. And let me tell you something. There's other girls that are very, very pretty too, very feminine, that they work with.
That's great.
You'll be surprised at that's a field that's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Lots of different kind of people. And the people that they work with are very interesting, very nice. It's not what you would think it would be, the science field. And there's definitely a good share of women in it.
Well, that's great. Maybe I'm wrong about that, and I don't mind being wrong, because perhaps I'm coming from my standpoint, being 56 years old, back when I was in school. Girls didn't.
Oh, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The majority is men. Oh,
okay.
Absolutely. Or are men. Are men is men. See? Now, there's where I could use one of my daughters.
Yeah.
They have a better memory than I have. I could teach them this, and a lot of it would go out the door after, whereas they were kids, and they'd soak it right up. So sometimes I'll ask them, what did we learn?
Yeah, well, the point of all of this, as an introduction, is that these girls were homeschooled, and now they are pursuing doctorates in the sciences.
Yeah.
All right, so
we
they
had no idea. We had no idea. I had my little science corner. Of course, we had science that we, you know, studied. And a lot of people will try and say, you know, Christians and science do not go together. And yeah, they really do.
Absolutely, they do.
Our sciences were the study of God's creation.
Yep.
So I think actually being homeschooled made my daughters less scared. What is very rare are Christians in the science, far more rare than women even. The bulk is definitely men. A lot of non-believers, and Christians they're told by secular people that Christianity and science don't go together. I mean, you know, you go on the blogs, they'll tell us that, you know, well, we're Christians, we can't know anything about science. And I always laugh at that.
And you know what? It didn't used to be that way, because 50, 75, 100 years ago, most of the scientists were Christians.
Yes, yes. A lot of the major discoveries were by Christians in science, and which doesn't surprise me of why Satan has targeted Christians in public schools to make them turn away from science, because he doesn't want us in science.
No, he doesn't want us anywhere where discoveries are being made, where creativity exists, all of that. So with that in mind, with your daughter's great success in mind, and they're still they're pursuing doctorates, but they're only just getting started with the kind of whatever effect they have on the world is yet to come. And I have no doubt that their future is probably going to be even more mind-blowing for you as their mother than what they're doing now.
Well, I keep telling them that I believe God's, you know, using them and going to use them for something fabulous, and he will, no matter what. I just, you know, as a parent, you watch and you wonder, what's it going to be?
Yeah.
But you know, they don't realize just how spectacular it is, because this is just their life.
It's just what they're doing.
they were never told you can't do something. I believed, and here's another great thing about homeschooling, is you're the one molding your children's minds.
Right.
You're molding their minds. It's not some school teacher who might have all kinds of other issues in life.
Yeah. For instance, the woman who came into class with I think it was a 6-year-old, so that would be first grade. 6-year-old comes to class with a bag of candy canes after the holidays for his classmates, and the teacher says, "You can't have anything about Jesus in class," and took the candy canes away.
Wow.
That has a terrible effect on a child. That at 6 years of age, that's going to stick with it. That child will be 50 years old one day and still have that hanging in the back of his head.
Right.
I felt so sorry for that kid.
Well, and school teachers, you know, they don't love your children like you do.
No.
And I mean, I can remember some negative things by some school teachers that I remember to this day, and I'm 53. So yeah, Obviously they had a little effect on me. And so when you homeschool your kids, you get to mold their minds and their little lives. And it was very important to me to speak positive to my kids, to not use the word, you know, can't, you know, I mean, obviously they can't do something wrong, but I'm saying when it comes to what we do in life and
what you can achieve,
they never stop to think they couldn't do something.
Right. What they could achieve, what they could learn, all of the things that were coming at them through the education process. There was never a time when they thought, oh, this is going to be too hard. This is going to be too much. I'm going to have to turn away from this.
Right. I remember the first time they baked. They just decided they were going to make an apple pie. And they took regular apples that we had, and they got out the cookbook, and they made the pie crust. I never liked apple pie till I had theirs. It was so good. And they didn't know. They were young. But they had no idea how hard it is to bake. No one ever told them it's hard. And they, because they were educated enough to this point where, you know, they knew their measurements, they knew how to follow instructions, they just got out the cookbook and did it. And they had no idea that...
Yeah, they weren't thinking along the way, oh, man, this is really hard. We got to do this. Now we got to take the flour out. Now we got to do this.
Right.
And they were just doing what the book said. They weren't thinking, oh, man, what a big hassle this is. We should just go down to the grocery store and pick up a pie.
Right. When Becky started helping me with some of my craft work, she made bows, she made jewelry. She just went online, she found instructions, and she was like, okay, and she did it. You know, whereas I'm over here, I sew, but so far, I have had to create everything I do myself because I am terrified of patterns. I've got all these patterns. I've bought all these patterns, and I'm always saying, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to use a pattern, but I'm terrified of them because something in my psyche says I can't do it, I can't follow that pattern, and... it's when you're raised in public schools, you're not raised with the kind of confidence, the kind of like, how can I put it? It's not only that you're not raised with the confidence, but you're raised with negativity.
Well, and you're lucky often. In public schools, you go through kindergarten and first grade through 12th grade. And you're lucky if you have two or three really great teachers who encourage you. And I did have those kind of teachers, and they stand out in my mind. But but most teachers are not especially positive, and most are not especially negative. They're just there doing a job. Well, for the mother or the father teaching their children at home, it's not just doing a job. It's the investment of your time in your children.
And then you've also, when both parents are working full-time outside the house and they're sending their kids to school, they're not feeling a sense of responsibility. It's actually a way for parents to kind of sign off on that responsibility because they're thinking, well, the public school's doing it. And they don't know what's going on in their own kids' lives. They stop even knowing their own kids after a while. And they're not influencing their kids. And a lot of times, the little bit of time they do spend together at night, the parents are tired. Because they don't have that active relationship, they're not giving the kids those encouraging words. And sometimes they're going to give them discouraging words, too, because they're a little annoyed with them. Because they don't have a relationship. Both parents work. They rarely see their kids a couple hours at night. You need a relationship with your children. You can have that instinctual love when they're born, but you need a relationship love. And public schools really divide the family. That's why so many siblings are not close. Both my daughters are extremely close. At this time, they share an apartment together. They've been living together now for a couple years. And public schools, the siblings, it's like they lose touch. And instead, people become an odd kind of family with people who they're not family with. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting close to friends. But I think that most people out there, if they were given a choice, they would choose to be close with their siblings and their parents. And both my daughters have this. So there's a major plus for homeschooling.
I think that the public schools have done so much to give parents the idea that they can be trusted. But when you have, like you said, you have some families have two parents working. Some families have one parent working, and still they send their children to public schools. And they think that this is most parents think it's a safe and decent place to send their kids for somewhere around 200 days a year. But the more I think about it, I consider the fact that many Christian conservatives are concerned about government interference in their lives, and yet they are sending their children to public schools where you're not just getting some kind of an education, you're also getting a social indoctrination to the way that government, be it the federal government or the state government or the county government that's running the school system, and all those levels of government have influence in the public schools. it's no different. And so if you're going to be concerned about the direction the government is moving the country, public school doesn't seem to be the right place to send your kids.
I wonder if people would just stop and think how many of these teachers would Christian parents leave their children to, like in a will, you know, for someone to take care of your kids if you die.
Yeah.
Of their teachers, how many would the parents trust to raise their kids if they died? Because these people are raising their kids.
Yeah,
they spend more time with their kids than the parents do.
Especially in early grades where the kids sit with one teacher all day. And that goes from what? I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning till 2 in the afternoon.
Roughly.
That's a long time every day, 5 days a week, and 3/4 of the year.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And they're handing their kids over to the state, basically,
yeah.
Willingly. They're willingly handing their children over to the state to raise. I try not to let it baffle me, but it does baffle me. But at the same time, I keep in mind that, you know, what brought me to homeschooling was not the realization of what we realize now. It was, it just kind of happened because of other things. And yet I realized down the road, it felt like it would have been child abuse to put my kids in a public school.
Now, and I think part of that realization was something that God put in your heart. Because like you say, this was, what year, how many years ago? Was it 25 years ago? 24, 23, something like that, years ago that yeah. You started homeschooling.
My youngest is 24 and she was 4, a couple months shy of being 5 when we started. So 20, but I decided to obviously a year or so before. And I will say this, scripture says to train up a child the way he should go. And when he's older, he will not depart. And that scripture really mattered to me. I took it to heart. I believed it heart and soul.
Yeah.
And other mothers didn't like it. I mean, not quite literally, I was never invited back to a women's Bible study. My oldest went to a private school for K through second. And then we pulled her out and began homeschooling her. And then she was homeschooled through her senior year. Our youngest, right from the get-go, through the senior year. Now I just lost my track where I was getting at.
Well, I want to point something out here real fast because when you're talking about the schools 20 years ago, we did not have the kinds of things that are sources of concern now, not anywhere to this degree. And still, 20 years ago, there were problems in the public school, but there wasn't Common Core, and there weren't these horror stories that seemed to come out, like I just told the story about the kid with candy canes, and the idea that Jesus has anything to do with candy canes is preposterous, But back then, these stories were not happening. Today, when I see parents who are on Facebook talking about how outrageous it is for a teacher to act like that about candy canes, yes, it is outrageous. But why the hell are you sending, sorry, but why the heck are you sending your kids to public school when you are concerned about the things that are happening there?
Right. I mean, would they leave their kids with a babysitter that they're very angry at and very upset with? I mean, it does not make sense.
Yeah. Would you leave your kid? That's a great point. Would you take your kid to a babysitter a second time if you took your child to a babysitter after Christmas and your child said, I'm going to take a candy cane to Miss Smith? And you give the candy cane to Miss Smith and she says, don't you dare bring Jesus into my house.
Right.
You wouldn't go back.
You wouldn't, but I remember what I was going to say now. This mother's Bible study, our kids went to this private school together, most of us, and our younger kids were with us at the Bible study. It was during the day when the other kids were in school. And the mothers were all moaning and groaning and complaining about their kids misbehaving. And I told them that Bible scripture of train up a child the way he should go, when he's older he shall not depart. And well, you know, like I said, I was not invited back to that Bible study. And the minister at the church, he said, oh, you can't tell parents that's offensive to them, because, you know, then they don't want to think that, you know, they could do something wrong. And I says, but it's scripture.
Yeah.
And I mean, and see, that's a scripture that I held on to and I wholeheartedly believed, and it was all glory to God. And see, that's what they didn't get. I mean, I was trusting God that he was going to give me everything I need. And that's what I think. That's how I think it all came to be.
Now, well, you were definitely taking a step of faith.
Yeah.
Because
interesting, because there's, you know, when the people were out of Egypt and they, you know, the Red Sea parted and everything. And my youngest daughter pointed this out to us the other day, that after, when the people were complaining about things were like, they were like, what'd you, you know, bring us out of there just to, you know, leave us now and let this happen, blah, blah, blah. And God told them to be silent.
Mm.
And start to just walk in faith. And I said, wow, be silent. In other words, quit your moaning and groaning.
Well, yeah.
Shut up.
He wasn't saying stop being audible.
Right.
He was saying stop complaining.
He was saying shut up. Stop complaining.
I like the way God says shut up.
Yeah.
Be silent.
Be silent. And so I think that in a way, without even realizing it, that's what I was telling these women. You know, stop complaining about your kids. Look, here's a Bible scripture.
It's in your hand.
Rest on that and just start walking. Raise your kids.
Yeah, raise your kids. The education of the kids is the responsibility of the parent. Now, years and years ago in America, when we had very small neighborhoods and we had a schoolhouse with a teacher, a schoolmarm, who would teach the children in the neighborhood, and you had maybe, what, 12, 15, 18 kids in there, that was different. But these days, you're turning your kids over to a school that might have 4,000. When I went to high school, there were 4,000 kids there. It was very easy to blend in and to be in the shadows, and you didn't have to be a part of anything. And the teachers could easily forget some students who were mediocre and really not applying themselves. And it would have been much better. And this was back in, I graduated high school in 1976, homeschooling. Even then, when public schools were better than they are now, homeschooling would still have been a much better experience for the student, for the child.
Well, yeah. When I went to school, it was exactly like that. You got lost. The teachers used to tell my parents, we know she can do it, but she's just like, she's not there. She's zoned out. She's staring out into space. And I mean, I realized as an adult that what it was I was bored stiff. I mean, they would take days and days and teach the same thing. And I just, after a while, I'd zone out. And clearly then when they'd finally, you know, change the station, you know, and start teaching a little something different, I was already zoned out. It was boring as all get out. So, I mean, I look at my daughters and I realize both of them, neither of them, I should say, would have gotten the kind of education that they needed, a personalized education that works for them, for their personality, for how they are. Children are like instruments, and they're their own instrument, and yet they need to be part of this beautiful orchestra and play the same song, but play it with their instrument.
Rush Limbaugh calls children skulls full of mush. And by that he means they are able to be molded by whoever gets a hold of them and starts educating them. And that's one of the biggest problems in America today, is we have at least one generation, probably close to two generations of children that have been raised by the public school system with an agenda in mind.
Well, that goes with the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And yeah. These people are handing their kids over to the public school. So who rules the world?
Now, what I want to do is start off with how you got started, because now we know what your motivation was. That Bible verse hung in your heart, and you knew you were going to have to do this yourself. And you also knew that this was not something that you didn't go through public school yourself and learn how to be a teacher. So you were stepping into brand new territory. And how did you get started?
I had known one mother that was homeschooling when my oldest was in the private school. And I just thought, wow, that's got to really be something. Boy, I never could do that. I remember thinking that. And I didn't send my oldest daughter to public school because it was so huge. They had 16 kindergartens. Classes. And I was like, wow. Oh, that's just not going to happen. She was still four. I mean, they've got fall birthdays. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to have my daughter getting on this huge bus and going there and getting lost in the crowd and just not counting, not mattering. I really did not like public schools for not only was it boring and you didn't get a good education, but I found public schools to be abusive. I felt that not only were
this
the kids
was part of your personal experience.
Yeah, the kids were allowed to be abusive to each other. Some of the teachers were abusive. I hated how we were herded like animals in gym into the showers, and everybody had to take naked showers together. And people will laugh and they'll say, well, how do you take showers if you're not naked? Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't think that kids should be treated like animals, you know, a bunch of cows, you know, just put them all in there and hose them down.
It's almost like an education meat grinder.
Well, yeah. And so between the lack of education, the lack of caring, the bullying that goes on, the abuse, and all kinds of abuse, I was just like, I did not want my kids in that. So that's why I had opted for the private school. Well, then the private school that was supposed to be a, quote, Christian school, things were happening there just as if it was a public school. And I was getting that, well, yeah, it's kids. And I remember saying to the principal, you know, so would you be okay as an adult if some of this stuff was happening to you? And of course he wouldn't be, but they treat kids like they're not human, you know, just throw them in and whatever. And I was like, no, it's unacceptable. And I was like, either I had to do something. I wasn't going to leave my daughter, and now my youngest daughter was about to start, and have them in a school that was supposed to be Christian but behaving worldly.
What's an example of one of the things that was going on? I don't want to get into all of them, but one good example of something that was going on that was just unacceptable as a parent.
Well, there was one girl, well, a whole family of girls who were being allowed to bully other girls because the family went to the church, and the father had been abusive to the girls, to the mother, and he had left. And so the church, they were like pampering these girls and letting them get away with physically even. One of the older girls was actually physically being abusive to other girls. And one of the younger girls was bullying my oldest daughter. And my oldest daughter was actually a couple years younger than this girl. So it was, I was getting concerned that what's going to happen when that girl, who was older and much bigger than my daughter, but really picking on my daughter, what was going to happen? Was she going to punch her someday? And
yeah.
Then there was a boy who was also older than her who was getting her attention on the bus by spitting in her face. And I mean the boy spitting, the hawk poo boy spitting.
Great. Okay.
That's what I asked the principal.
Well, so, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't this be something that would be relatively easy for a proactive school administrator to fix?
Well, yeah, but they made more of a big deal out of my daughter forgiving him once they finally got the truth out of him. And his mother was awful because that's who I called when it first happened.
Yeah.
And she was all upset that I called her. And she started saying that her daughter, you know, got picked on, but nobody, you know, she never called the mother. And I says, your boy is bigger than my daughter, older than my daughter, and hack pooing in her face and on the bus. Yes, I'm going to call you.
He's a boy.
I mean, how about if I send my husband down to spit in your face? You know, and we'll just say, well, you know, boys will be boys.
Well, look, the point is that obviously with all this going on, it had to have you thinking there's got to be a better way.
Well, there was no difference. I mean, that's what it hit me was there's no difference. These people were calling themselves Christian and clearly were not, okay? Because this isn't how Christians, at the very least, they weren't behaving like Christians.
No, and there's a very good chance your daughter could be going to public school and not be getting spit on.
Right!
Okay, so obviously we know that this is why you started thinking maybe homeschooling is the only option.
It was that, or I was going to put them in a public school where at least they weren't going to be mad at God. Because
yeah.
I was like,
oh, that's
wow.
Another good point.
And,
yeah.
I mean, at that point, I actually was contemplating a public school. At least then I could say that the terrible things that were happening was because it was heathen schools. But of course, that wasn't sitting well with me, the thought of sending them to a public school. And that's when the homeschooling, I was like, you know what?
So
I'm
when you start thinking about homeschooling, were you, I don't know what word might apply. Were you frightened? Were you unnerved? Were you thinking, wow, you know what? This could be the biggest mistake ever. Or were you thinking, I mean, how soon after contemplating homeschooling did you realize I can do this?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, what was your first reaction? Were you thinking, oh, this is going to be really hard?
In all honesty, I think I just knew I had to do it.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't be scared. You know, it's kind of like I was just saying the other day about childbirth. You know, once you get the kid in you, you know, getting scared of getting the kid out is kind of silly because, you know, it's got to come out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like with raising my girls. It was like, well, I have them. I have to do what I have to do. No time to be scared.
That makes sense. So what was the first thing you did when you started to move forward?
I had to talk him into it. I had to talk my husband into letting me.
Well, that's a really important point. And I don't want to move away from that immediately because it does take in a household with a mother and a father, husband and wife, you're going to have to agree on the step moving forward.
Yeah. And then of course you've got, and people have to realize if they're going to do this, that they're going to get a lot of negativity. People are going to look at you and say, you're crazy. You can't do this. You're going to ruin your children. I mean, and it's amazing how people will not think twice about telling you that you're going to ruin your children. Whereas if you looked at them and said, you're ruining your children, sending them to public school, they'd get all offended.
Yeah.
They're offended just by the fact that you don't send your kids to public school.
Now, I've heard that this happens. That when people decide to homeschool their children, they get all this criticism. I think part of the criticism is from people who know in the back of their minds that sending their kids to public school is causing their children trouble. And they're either jealous or they are thinking this is something we should really do, but we don't have the dedication to go ahead and do it.
Well, exactly, but they have to, if they do make the decision to do it, They have to be prepared. They need to be prepared that people are going to say some of the most rude things, negative, insulting, mean things to you. And my biggest advice is to look people and just stop them. Stop them in their tracks. I wish I'd had somebody tell me this. And just to look at them and say, so can I insult your decisions for your children now? Just look at it. Just give it back to them so as you can stop them in their tracks.
Were you shocked at first when people had this reaction?
You know, I think I was so conditioned that it didn't shock me as much as it upset me. And I wanted them to stop. I wanted them to back off, leave me alone. And I found myself trying not to hurt their feelings back. Because when I would defend homeschooling, it's like, okay, I'm not a drinker. So when I'm with people who are drinking, they will get offended, some of them will get offended that I'm not drinking because my not drinking is telling them that I don't agree with drinking.
Yeah.
And so they get offended.
And they can't handle it.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, this and that's what happens when you choose to homeschool. That means you're choosing not to do what these people have done. So they're offended, and that's a lot of the reason why they're going after you as a homeschool mom, is because they're offended, and they want to go after you. And so we as homeschoolers need to stop coddling these people, and instead of fearing offending them, we need to look at them and say, so can I insult you now? You know, since you just feel it's just fine to rip on me for my decision for my children, can I insult you now? Now, there was one woman, and there may be some people who aren't doing it to be mean. And I'm not speaking about them, but the majority of people, they're just doing it because they're offended, because you're doing something different than they are doing. But I do remember my oldest daughter's the kindergarten teacher. She was a very good teacher. And unlike the first grade teacher, who was an awful teacher, she knew that my oldest daughter was very intelligent, even as a 5-year-old. And she also knew she would have known the Otis-Lennon, which is an IQ test that my daughter had been given in first grade, which put her in the 90-some percentile for intelligence.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was, I think she was genuinely concerned that I was not going to be able to educate such an intelligent child. But what she didn't understand was I had called and spoke to someone in that department who does the Otis-Lennon test. I don't remember how I got a hold of the person, but I did. And I spoke with a man there, and I also told him what my daughter's end-of-the-year testing score was, which was really good. It was in the 80-some percentile, but not the 90s. And I said, should I be expecting her to be matching the regular testing? This is the regular testing at the end of the year with her Otis-Lennon, the IQ test. And he said, absolutely, you should be getting the same results. And so what she didn't understand, this kindergarten teacher, was that they weren't bringing out everything that my daughter was capable of. And within just, I think it probably was the first year of homeschooling, but I guess it could have been the second. I'd have to look back in the records. We had her meeting and over that score, because that is like, you've got your IQ score, the Otis-Lennon, but then you got your regular end of the year testing, and that percentile should at least match what your IQ is.
Mm-hmm.
And within no time, she was exceeding it.
It's too bad that teacher can't see your daughter now.
We've ran into each other a number of times, and she knows that my girls did do well.
Yeah, that's great.
And they both ended up in the 90s percentiles for their testings. And I believe that my oldest daughter's, by the time she got done with homeschooling, I think she actually scored perfect, if not almost perfect. And my youngest daughter was up there very close to it as well. And again, not boasting, just letting it be known.
No,
this is what can be done. And that was somebody else testing my daughters, those scores that I'm speaking of in their high school years. And then my oldest daughter, as an undergrad at a well-known top regular college, not a private, not a quote Christian college or anything, just a regular but very good college, she carried a perfect 4.0 the whole 4 years. Wow. My youngest daughter, who's just a little more relaxed than my oldest daughter, she carried almost a 4.0. They both graduated with highest honors.
That's just really something. Now, I wanted something came to mind as you were talking. I wanted to ask you if when you're considering all of this homeschooling and the need to homeschool and the responsibility of homeschooling, when the daughters are looking up at you and you know there's a whole lifetime ahead of them, were you... obviously you were looking at them with confidence, even though you had never taught before.
Right. And even though I had to educate myself first, and that's what
I was going to ask you. You didn't have, or maybe you did. It's hard for me to remember when that time was, but this was approximately 20 years ago. Did you have the benefit of the internet at the time?
No, we didn't even have the internet. We were not even on the internet.
Right. So today, people are actually, if they decide to homeschool, it's going to be a little bit easier for them because they're going to be able to go online and get a lot of materials just downloading PDF files. But what did you have to do? Send away for stuff in the mail or what?
Yeah, I had to. First, I had heard about another family in our neighborhood that was homeschooling, and they were so kind. They let us come over and they talked to us and they gave us a lot of information. Mm. And I decided to go with a Christian curriculum for science, for history, for health. But the private school that she had gone to had regular English, the reading, the language, the spelling. They had, the whole English thing was all regular. So I decided, since she was doing so well in that and I was familiar with it because I would do all her homework with her at night.
Yeah.
So I was very familiar with the curriculum she had. I'd put a chalkboard. I'd hot glued a chalkboard, decorated it with lace on my dining room wall.
A lace chalkboard.
Yeah. Obviously, it's not a formal dining room.
It's a girly girl school.
My husband's very kind that he lets me do these things.
Yeah, well, if you had two boys, I doubt that the chalkboard would be surrounded in lace.
No, and it was first painted pink on the edge and then surrounded in lace. But I would do her homework with her, and so I was very familiar with this curriculum. So that's what I continued with.
Was this family that you counseled with, were they Christians as well?
Yes.
What a blessing all that was.
It was very much a blessing.
And would you, if some neighbor came to you with small kids and they were thinking about homeschooling, would you do the same, sit down and give them some guidance?
If they had, and still to this day I would. I did get a chance to repay the favor a little bit when their oldest son... they decided to let him go to public school for his senior year, but it was something like a 3-2-1 program, something where he did a few classes in high school, a few in a local college. And so it wasn't just high school. He was also getting college credits, but a paper he was working on had to do something with politics. And little did I know that I was getting started in activism work back then. Didn't even realize
it.
I think God was preparing me.
Yeah.
But I was involved with our then congressman at the time. And I was going to one of his house parties. I'd gotten invited to it. And when this family found out that I was going, they said, oh, will you bring our son with you? Because he's doing some senior paper. And so I did get to repay him a little bit by bringing him with me.
Now, something that crossed my mind, you've got mom in the dining room with the chalkboard with lace around it, getting ready to teach her daughters. What was your daughter's reaction to all of this? How did they look at you? Did they kind of giggle at first? Because I can picture like a television show where somebody tries homeschooling and the kids looking at each other like, oh, brother, look at this, mom trying to teach. Or were they immediately receptive and so happy that you were going to do this?
Another great question, by the way. Actually, I think they were so used to me that they didn't even think twice about it.
They knew you.
Yeah. And I mean, my oldest daughter was glad to be out of there.
Yeah. Oh, I after mean, all of that she went through. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. She'd had enough. And
remember, these are girls. What are they now? The 6 and 4, basically.
They would have been, 4 and 7. They're 3 years apart.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so these are little kids.
Yeah.
And mom's going to teach them. And they're like, bring it on. We're ready.
Yeah. Yeah. And and now the chalkboard in the dining room, that was for the 3 years, the K through second, for doing the homework. But what we did once we were getting ready to homeschool, but we had an extra room in our house that hadn't been finished off. So my husband finished it off, and that was our classroom.
Wow.
We had a classroom, a real homeschool classroom. It had a bigger chalkboard, didn't have lace around it. It was painted schoolroom blue. We had the red, the blues, and you know, the yellows, and had the ABCs going around the room.
Oh, that's too much.
Because my youngest was kindergarten.
That is so great.
They each had their own desk.
Well, there's a reason why that stuff is up on the wall. It's not for decoration. It's because the kids are trying to get the young children to see the letters and become familiar with them.
Yeah, and it put them in the mode of schooling when we would go into this room, and it was just a precious room.
Where did they sit? Did you buy them little school desks or a table?
They had desks, and yeah,
so great.
They had desks. We even had a big bulletin board on the back. My husband, he took, you know, the drywall, how it comes in like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like 4 by 8 foot sheets.
Yeah.
The thick drywall, it's really chalk, you know?
Yeah.
And he nailed that onto the back wall sideways, going, you know, long ways side to side. And then he bought the cork board to go over it.
Yep.
And that's where we had a bulletin board. And they loved to do art. And they would paint. They would draw. They would do all kinds of stuff. And they would just pin it up there. And it was great. And we had our science corner, our history corner, extra books corner.
You know what? Let me tell you something here, because this is so important. When you set aside a part of the house, and if somebody's living in a small apartment, it's going to be maybe the one side of the living room or the dining room, and you move the table. There's got to be some place that you set aside to be the classroom, because it needs not to be the same as the rest of the house, because you're doing something different there, and the children need to know that they're taking it seriously, and you need to be able to go into, when you walked in there, you were in a different frame of mind, I would guess.
Yes, and it was bright. I love lots of lights. So we had lots of lights, and both regular and fluorescent. We had a fan, a ceiling fan with lights. I mean, we just had lots of lighting, so it was nice and bright. And
yeah, bright light keeps you awake and attentive.
Yeah, and having a couple of fluorescent lights also helped. And it looked like a homeschool room. I mean, it was really nice. And then when my oldest started taking piano lessons, we bought a keyboard, and so it was in there. And I can still remember teaching my youngest how to read. and the first story of the Three Billy Goats Gruff. Yep. I still remember that, and I remember how she memorized it before she actually learned to read it. And we have a little cassette tape. And these are the great, beautiful things about homeschooling that I cannot stress enough, that you will make so many more memories because you're raising your kids. And because that's another thing, when you send your kids off to public school, you're missing out on them. Not only are they missing out on you, but you're missing out on them.
You're missing out on the revelations when they learn something. I hate to say this, but we are out of time today. And so I think we're at a great point here, because whoever's listening now will not be able to wait until we go on with the second episode, which will probably be hopefully in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But
yeah, it's exciting. I just can't begin to tell you how exciting it is to homeschool your kids. It's a lot of fun.
And we're just getting started. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Deborah J.M. Smith, thank you very much. Your website is informingchristians.com, and we'll be back to do this again next time.
Thank you. I look forward to the next time.
The Jimmy Z Show.